Task 3. You will hear several people talking. For each extract, choose the heading that best matches the information you have heard. Then write the letter in the corresponding white box. There are two headings you will not need. You will hear the extracts just once. Extract 0 is an example. Now read the sentences. Extract 0.
My trauma response is actually a fairly common one, which is kind of developing this very anxious attachment style. When you're used to emotional neglect to some extent, sometimes when somebody comes along and treats you well, with even a little bit of ounce of respect, it can be easy to put them on a pedestal. When really they're doing the bare minimum, it's just that you're not used to the bare minimum. And so there's this weird stage where you start interacting with other people. It's easy to become incredibly attached to people, to always need reassurance.
Extract number 1.
You know, one of the reasons that heartbreak is so difficult is that in many ways we are built for attachment. And humans, when we pair bond, you know, we do it for a reason. The mammals that pair bond do it for a reason. We do tend to gain tremendous benefits from being in a close partnership, to the point where we sort of co-regulate our respiration and even our brain waves and our stress levels align with our partners. In a good, positive relationship, we really tend to sort of help regulate each other's stress levels. And so that's one of the reasons why when we lose it, it feels, I think, so scary, like you're suddenly floating through space, you know, by yourself, upside down.
Extract number 2.
I think if you tally them all, there are about 88 sort of different theories of humor and laughter. But there are three major ones, and they're all very old. I mean, incredibly old theories. I mean, going back to sort of ancient Rome and ancient Greece in some cases. So you've got the one theory is the incongruity theory. And the idea behind this is that we see two things going together that should not normally go together. And because of that, we laugh. Mm-hmm. And the one example I always have in mind when I think of that is there's a cartoon by Pilbrow, which has a tree inside a cat's bottom, and two firemen turn up and say, well, I suppose a tree up a cat makes a change, you know, because the joke is normally that the cat is stuck up a tree.
Extract number 3.
Oxytocin is just a wonderful part of our chemistry, our brain chemistry, and what it does is it makes us feel rapport and trust with others. And it is released when someone makes you feel trusted. right? So it's not when you trust someone else. It's like when, if you feel that I trust you, if I say to you, James, I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm going to give you something I haven't told anyone else. We're going to announce it on your radio show. Here it is. And I tell you, and you prove that it's true, that I'm not lying to you. I'm not just manipulating you. I actually gave you a secret. Your brain releases oxytocin and I'm your deliverer.
Extract number 4.
I tell the story of the first time I ever did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I was substantially older and substantially out of shape. And on my very first day, I started rolling with somebody, sparring with somebody. And so for however minutes, we're bouncing around on the floor and he's trying to pull my head off my shoulders. And I realized afterwards that during that, I thought of nothing else. I wasn't thinking about my book. Wasn't even my kids or my family, or did I look good in my uniform? And was, you know, I was totally immersed in the moment. These high intensity experiences, some which involve pain, some which don't, all that involve some degree of difficulty, take you out of yourself.
Extract number 5.
Anger is elicited when, in human beings, when we feel that we have been unjustly harmed. So as you can imagine, that's a wide range of triggers, right? So for instance, just a simple example, if someone bumps into you and you don't perceive them as, you know, out to get you, it was just an accident, then you don't experience anger. Right. But if someone does bump into you and they have a mean look on their face and you think, hey, this guy's, you know, out to get me, then you experience anger. And anger is problematic because it can lead to aggression. So we need to differentiate between anger and aggression.
Extract number 6.
The fact is we can't always be happy. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the good life involves some negative emotion. And I think broadly, when we make happiness a goal in itself, that's when it backfires. Trying to pursue it indirectly through other things, perhaps things which are meaningful, connecting with purpose, connecting with people, doing things which would be valuable even if we weren't feeling great about them on that day, or even if they didn't lead to our own happiness, they would still be important things to do. That's when we tend to find that happiness does follow up from behind, and that's the better way to pursue it. When we set it out and say, well, my goal in life is to be as happy as I can, I mean, even that just sounds a little bit hollow, right? And I think that's where we get unstuck.
Extract number 7.
So when we experience adversity, we often reflexively turn our attention inward to grapple with the problems we face, to try to come up with a solution to the issues we're dealing with. But we don't always find solutions. Sometimes we end up getting stuck. We worry, we ruminate, we catastrophize, which is what I call chatter, getting stuck in a negative thought loop where you're not making progress towards resolving your problems. Instead, you're overthinking them in ways that just create more distress. So that's what chatter is.
Extract number 8.
I think my partner definitely noticed, because of the two of us, he was the more introverted. So I would notice that I would want to go out and I would want to go do more things, and he would want to stay behind. So I started to notice that I was drifting more in the direction of being extroverted and wanting to be involved in activities and different clubs and different, like going to fencing competitions and whatnot. And he mostly wanted to stay behind or stay home. So I started to notice, at least in comparison to that, that I was definitely getting more extroverted, where we started at the same level of extroversion when we first moved to university.
This is the end of task 3 and the end of the listening test.